All right, we can start with the Pledge Allegiance.
Yep.
603.
To the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic. For which it stands. One nation. Under God. Indivisible. With liberty. Justice.
For all.
Yeah, Louise, if you can do the roll call, please.
Mr. Alberta.
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Carlone.
Present.
Mr. Roche.
Present.
Mr. Gray.
Present.
Mancini Wright. Mancini Wright.
She can't make it tonight.
Ms. Orzetti.
She cannot make it tonight.
Ms. Patel.
Ms. Patel is away.
Bertoso. And Mr. Santos.
Present.
We only have five.
Okay. So we're not going to work on any of the budget transfers?
Don't have a quorum.
Okay. We're not going to work on any of the budget transfers tonight because we need a quorum to do that. Anybody of the public portion would like to talk? Anybody from the public portion would like to share?
I always share only for the fact that I want to say thank you all that are here for taking the time to do your duties and try to make Derby a little bit better. And I also like to thank Mr. Parker and Mr. O'Connell and a few others who are following the procedures and doing transfers within their departments so that their budgets are not over. There's many other line items within the budget that are over expended and it's a little bit disconcerting. So keep up the good work and I won't bother you any further. My name is Karen Chemises, by the way.
What address are you from, Karen?
25 John Street, J-O-H-N.
Thank you very much, Karen, and thank you for the feedback. Is anybody else in the public would like to share? Anybody from the public would like to share? Last time, anybody from the public would like to share? Okay, we close that public portion and the rest of the agenda is going to be all about transfers and we don't have a quorum. So is anybody here from either on the presentations? We're going to number 11. Fire department, senior center, or fire marshal budget?
Dawn Hebert. Sorry, Dawn Hebert from the senior center.
Okay, Dawn, thank you very much for coming on. You can go ahead and present, please.
Okay, this is my first time, so bear with me.
Mark, can you put it on the screen for us, please?
Okay, I don't know. Let me see if I receive that one. Hold on.
Okay. Dawn, would you be able to send it over to Mark? Is that possible?
I don't think so. I don't know. I'm on my home computer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just have the paper copy.
And I have to say, I have heard from quite a few people. You're doing a very good job there.
Thank you very much. I'm doing the best I can.
Yep, it shows.
Thanks.
Her budget is in the original packet that we received, if anybody interested.
Yeah, it's the expenditure line item 6,800 for the senior center?
Yes.
Hold on, I got it.
Right on the ball, Mark, right on the ball. Ouch.
All right, you all set to go?
All set. I see that's it right there, right?
Yep. So now what do I do? Do I just read what it says?
And yeah, just
explain if you have any questions, I could explain.
Correct.
Okay. So the salaries, executive director, do you want the amount or you just want to read it there?
Well, it's part of the 53,857.
Yep, that's correct. And the assistant executive director, and I guess Christine was allowing for a 2.25 increase, waiting the contract from the CBA. That's 47,871.41. Our kitchen manager is going to be getting a raise because minimum wage is changing from $14 to $15 an hour. So she'll her amount is $6,240. Custodian with the raise is also $25,258.16 for a total of $133,227.51 for salaries. Telephones are $400, electricity $14,000, gas is $9,700, water is $600, transportation $11,800, postage $3,200, our contracts for the elevator $3,100, and office expenses $5,352. Our instructors is $29,120. So the total building operations, I'm sorry, is $16,500, and the department total is $226,999.51. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you, Dawn.
You're welcome.
Hang on.
Oh, yes, I have one then. About the transportation, this is Chris Carloni. Transportation, that's just for taking people to and from events, or is that picking them up and bringing them to the senior centers also?
The 11,000 out of that, 4,000 goes to Valley Transit to transport people on Tuesdays to and from the center, and they also cover one or two trips per month within a certain time range to a restaurant or Captain's Cove, something like that. The 7,000 is for our driver, which we don't have yet. I do have an ad on our website. Plus I put one in our newsletter. So I also raised the minimum wage for the driver up to $20 an hour because we have zero applicants and I'm hoping that we'll get someone. So that money has not been expended.
Okay.
And Valley Transit, I don't believe has either because they had some kind of grant or something through COVID. So through March 31st, it was free transportation. So that money is still in there.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So Dawn, this is Roberto. I do apologize. You're accounting for the salary of that driver in your budget proposal, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is that actually going to be enough money? I mean, if we're trying to attract somebody?
That's I'm not sure of. I know that I looked at some ads for drivers and they ranged from 20 up to 30. I've seen a lot for 25. But there is perks with it. Like if they're going on a day trip, let's say to Goodspeed Opera House, we'll pay for their ticket because, you know, that they're going to be sitting there anyway. We also talked about giving some kind of a stipend if they go to a restaurant where they could maybe get a $15 voucher toward their meal. So there, like I said, there's a few perks to it too. So I thought I would start with 20. And then if I still don't get anybody, then possibly go up. But within that 7,000, I believe, you know, I won't be having him 10 hours a week like Christine had said in the beginning at $14 an hour. I figured it out and it would be approximately 7 hours per week.
7 hours per week.
Right. And Valley Transit would still provide transportation on Tuesdays. So if you split that up into 4 days, I was thinking like, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours each day. Or perhaps do an hour Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then do a day trip on Friday for the remainder. And it depends too. If we don't have anybody who needs transportation, then it'll carry over and be able to go toward a trip. It just, it's really going to depend on, you know, on who we get and how flexible they are.
And do the senior center pays for the background reports and checks on the motor vehicle?
That's a good question. I really don't know. I don't know if that
went through the police department. I thought most of those background checks went through the police department.
Yes, okay. I believe part of the application, I did see something about that. They get fingerprinted and everything.
Okay. This is not just somebody off the street.
No.
Okay.
And they have to have a passenger license. I forget the name of it, but
passenger it's not quite, endorsement.
That's it. Passenger endorsement.
Anybody else got any more questions for Dawn?
Yeah, I'm wondering how, I mean, right now she's got a part-time assistant. Have they given you any indication there? What's going on with your assistant? Because, I mean, you're taking on an awful lot there.
Yes. My understanding is that he was put in place as a holdover until, I believe, you know, I'm kind of on probation till, let's see, August, I believe, 6 months. And then I think they were going to put in somebody full time. But don't quote me on that because I'm not 100% sure. That's just what I've heard.
Okay, so what I mean, so that's why they're not filling it as a full time, because they're thinking if you don't make it, they're going to put you back down as assistant?
I'm really not sure, Jen. Honestly, I can't answer. But I know that they are planning on putting a full time in at some point. And that's why the budget stays the same for that salary.
Okay, but that will end up going up if the union contract, I mean, is there any, do we have any provisions in there that?
I believe Christine did figure that with a 2.25 increase based on the collective bargaining agreement.
Okay. I just think, do we have to break that out and put it in the special working balance?
No, I believe it's allocated already within the requested proposal as the 2.5 CBA.
Okay. So we know it's going to be 2.5 or we're still?
It's all dependent on the union contract and negotiations. And I'm hoping that this will stay there and that you're going to get the position and the executive assistant to you will come in at that salary there. And your job, John, will be, I'm just hypothetical, in August will be full-time and so would the executive assistant too?
That's what I'm assuming, or I'm really not sure. Okay. I think in one of the meetings, somebody had asked, and that was the answer.
Because Dawn is full time now, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been full time. I was the previous assistant director.
Right. Because it just seems kind of hard if they're putting you on probation and then they're taking help away from you.
Well, as long as I do well, which I believe I am, I've had nothing but good reports. Yeah, then they're going to keep me because I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, it just seems like they're making your life a little harder if they're. But okay. That transportation account that we had for the $20,000.
Yes.
They took and they dumped into some type of silo account?
Yes.
I'm looking at that and it says that it's senior van.
My understanding is that they were given $25,000 that had to go toward transportation and they took $5,000 and bought the van from Valley Transit when they got new vans. Right. So that's why there's $20,000 left.
Right, but the title of it is senior van. I guess I'm just wondering, did they pigeonhole that money and for something that was supposed to be for some type of transportation? But I just caught my eye that it says.
Where are you reading that at?
It's restricted. It's not on this budget, but it is restricted to transportation.
Right, but they just titled it senior van. This is, Roberto, I'm sorry. This is what I got from the Elderly Commission.
Okay.
And I just looked at it and it says it's for senior van. And I want to make sure that they're not going to drain all that on the seniors by if there's any repairs that need to be made to the van. Or, you know, I'm just a little uncomfortable with that. Because that money should actually be not there. It should be collecting money. It should be collecting interest in some type of CD or something. I mean, we've got how many years this has been out there and we've got $20,001. I mean, it's collecting zero interest.
We'll write it down as a question and we'll talk to Nancy and okay. Or the B to make sure that, you know, the question is being answered.
Okay. Let me write that down. All right.
Any other questions?
Oh, yes, I do have one. Where is the van located?
Right now it's in the ground floor of the garage. It was at Public Works, but had it moved so that it doesn't get mice in it and stuff. You know, who knows
what. Right. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Dawn, who's servicing those vans? They're just sitting idle.
Well, when they moved it, they checked it out and everything was working. So I'm not sure if it's being started. I really don't know. Like, I've only been doing this position for 2 months, so.
Okay. All right. And who's the one that's servicing it?
I am not sure.
Okay.
Dawn, do you have the keys to the van? Did they ever bring them down to you?
No. No, I understand that they were going to be brought to City Hall and then a copy made to bring to be brought to me.
Okay. I'm just putting some notes down to ask in support of a fulfilling an obligation that we need to our seniors.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else got any more questions for Dawn?
I'm good. Dawn, do you have any questions for us?
This is my first time, but I think it went smoothly. And I just, now next year, I just have to do my own budget, of course. And I may have questions then, but right now I think, I do have a question. I don't know if it has to be addressed here or not. But the $11,000 that we did not use for transportation, we are in need of a new oven range because they don't make the parts anymore for the safeties. They're made of mercury. I had somebody come out and service it. And so it's around $7,700 for a new one with installation and removal of the old one. So I see on here how people are transferring money. So is it possible for me to transfer some of that $11,000 into, I believe it would be building operations for the range? I'm really not sure. I'd have to check that, or maybe you guys would know. But, you know, it's a necessity. We have a kitchen manager. She's currently using a heating tray to keep the food warm. It's not ideal. So what's the procedure?
I believe right now what we'll do is we'll consult with the deputy finance and see where like you said, the $11,000 from transportation, where is it at? So if we can transfer from one line item to another, which I think you may be correct, but let's find out first with building operations.
Okay.
And
I would put the request into her.
Right.
Yeah.
I see also that you have a kitchen manager. Is that person there?
Yes. She serves our team lunch on Tuesdays and Thursdays and also assists when we have special functions.
All right. Have your kitchen manager put some feedback with your feedback, you know, and we'll introduce it so everybody's on the same page.
Okay. And will there be a meeting that I'll be at for that, or do I submit it to, who would I submit that to?
Nancy, the Nancy. Deputy Finance Director.
Okay.
And you could always, I mean, when it comes, the transfer comes across, you could always come to that meeting so that you can, because we could always take the stove out of there and bring it to someplace else.
Right? Yeah, if it's brand new. If by chance we ever do get, you know, get another building or something, I would think that it would be worth the investment because we could probably bring it with us.
Yeah.
And it has, you know, it has a warranty. And just being brand new, I think it's ideal because we're not going to have to worry about it breaking for a long time.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Dawn.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care, Dawn.
You too. Do I stay on now for the rest or am I good?
Up to you.
Up to you.
I'll stay on. You get an idea how it goes, right?
Sure.
Is there anybody for the fire department or the fire marshal's budget?
Mr. Santos, it's Gary Parker, fire commissioner.
How are you doing, Gary?
Good, sir. How are you?
Trying to familiarize myself with all the names. This is my second year, and good to meet you, Gary. You can go ahead and present.
Sure. I don't have any capability of putting it on up on the screen. If
Mark, do you Mr. have anything Garfell? Here?
Right now, hold on.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
No problem for my friend, Commissioner Parker.
Okay, Mr. Mayor.
There you go, Commissioner.
All righty.
This is the fire department or the fire
marshal?
The fire department.
Thank you.
Here it goes. I'm just trying to get it on my screen. Sorry. There we go. Okay. So the I assume it's best to go line item by line item, Mr. Chairman.
That'll be good. Thank you.
And I'll give a narrative, a short narrative for each one. And if there's any questions, just I guess you can interrupt me and I'll take whatever other ones at the end. So the first group of wages you see there on the left-hand side are stipends. We are a volunteer fire department. There's no full-time or part-time employees. However, some of the officials in the department do get stipends, and you see the fire commissioner is first. The second one is the fire chief wages. The second is the three assistant fire chiefs. There's one fire chief, three assistant chiefs. That 11,138 is divided by three for each of the assistant chiefs. The chief driver wages, each company, there's four fire companies in Derby. The storm engine company, the Hotchkiss hose company, the East End hose company, and the Pegasus hook and ladder. Each one of those companies has one member designated as a chief driver, and that individual reports to the fire commissioner and is responsible for the record keeping and the light maintenance for that, either that particular vehicle if there's only one in the firehouse, or multiple vehicles if there's more than one. And again, those are individuals that are not really rotated unless either one, they don't desire to do the position any longer or they move on or whatever reason, or the commissioner decides to make a change. But generally speaking, those four individuals are go span commissioner to commissioner and chief to chief. The fire chiefs, just for a little background, the fire chiefs is a rotation. So an individual would take a test. We test our chiefs. They take a test to become the third assistant chief. And then every 2 years, they are elevated to the next position up to from third to the second to the first assistant, and then the fire chief. Just a little background there. The demolition, outside demolition watch, is for generally when a building is built is being demolished in the city of Derby. Both the building official, the fire marshal, and the fire commissioner usually converse to determine the need of if there should be a fire watch. And that would generally be implemented if it was a building made of wood, or there's a lot of wood product in the building as it comes down, and it's going to be take more than a couple of 1 day to do. We would station a member or members on that scene with fire radio to stand watch over it, basically for two reasons. One, to watch for any incidents of fire. Two, to be sure that there's no foul play there. That is $1,500, and the way that works is that's generally for private demolition work. So those three individuals that I mentioned would converse and speak with the contractor looking for the building permit and determine the schedule that they're going to be working by. Based on that schedule, a fee is assessed for the number of days times the number of hours for fire watch, and that fee has been set by the Board of Aldermen. It's $35 an hour. That's just a pass-through fee, so the member, or usually members that work, we keep timesheets for them. And they're paid accordingly to how many hours they work, and that money is reimbursed by the private demolition contractor. The $1,500 is really just seed money. Station standby is we use that in occurrence of, generally speaking, heavy storms or severe inclement storms, hurricanes, blizzards. That type of activity, and we generally put members in the firehouses, have them stay right there, you know, usually for a 24-hour period, give or take, depending upon the storm and the severity. Those members are paid $20 an hour for that. Usually we staff the firehouses with enough individuals to staff one piece of apparatus out of each firehouse.
Quick question, sorry for
interrupting. Sure.
This is Chris Carloni. For the outside demo watch, there was a house taken down on Derby Avenue this past week.
Yes.
And how many people were there watching? For there was fire or anything else?
We didn't use that item for that. That 187 Derby Avenue was a city-owned house.
Right.
And that was bundled with the, if you remember, 43 Anson Street was taken down last fall, winter. That contract. So to answer your question, that was only one overnight. And so there were two individuals that worked that. I believe it was I forget which day of the week it was, but it was only one night and they were secure, if I remember correctly. It might have been two. I'm sorry. I think they started on Monday. They worked Monday night and Tuesday night, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. I can get you the exact, Chris. I just didn't get the tickets in yet. That's all.
Not a need at all. It was just a curiosity question.
Sure, sure. No, we did have people there. That case, the contract, just close the loop. That the contractor that was paid, that was a city paid project. And so the members only get $20 an hour when they work that. And that comes out of the city funds. In this case here, both, anyways, that's another day for another. I know we can't talk transfers. That's another night.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
I just have one follow-up question, Chief, Commissioner. I mean, with respect to the money comes out with the outside demolition watch. Does the money comes out of that, or if it goes over, where line item they would come out of?
For the demolition when it's a city project?
Yes.
The what I did was we for 43 Anson and for this one, it came out of station standby. So what I would be looking to ask for is in whatever account the demolition was paid for, the actual demolition. In my conversations with the mayor's office, there's funds available in there to, you know, that we could transfer or you could transfer with a request back into the station standby. And I don't have all those figures readily tonight. In fact, when we do finally talk about transfers, I'll have that into you.
No, and then also that gives me the follow-up question. And I almost think that you answered it with respect to the station standby. You said if the hurricanes, whatever storms that we got that are detrimental to the city, then that's when that monies will come out to support the standby staff. But if nothing happens, that money just sits there. And that's what you're talking about, the potential for the transfer from one of your line items to another, probably coming from that line item there.
I think we're getting away here, but I paid for the members were paid for the demolition watch on 43 Anson, and they will be paid for the demolition watch for 187 Derby, which is only a smaller amount. Anson was about $1,800 a total, because that one took over a week to clean up. So that came out of the fire department. That's not what that $8,400 is in there for. I would be looking to reimburse the fire department for that $1,800 from the city demolition account.
Okay.
And I'm not sure of the number. I'd have to get that from the finance office and coordinate that with the mayor's office, but that's the intent.
Yeah. Is it true the way I'm looking at this, like you explained, the station standby is actually men staying at the station, like a 24-hour standby in case of the storm does any damage, correct?
Correct. Or in the case of a winter storm, obviously the limited mobility because of this, you know, snow or ice or whatever. So we keep members in the firehouses so that it's just a mix for a better response if
okay.
in case of need.
They're going to get their financial support whether they go out to a situation or not, or that money's
okay. No, in that case, because we it's not an order, it's a request. We take volunteers, but we order captains to put members in their firehouses just so that we are assured that we have a sufficient response in the case where there's a need.
Thank you. That's what I was wanting to resolve in my head. Thank
Understood.
You.
Understood. Yeah. Okay. So, and the last one is a fire watch, real quickly. That one is in the case of a fire in a building. The building, you know, is generally, if it's a severe fire, usually the windows are out of the building, the roof is cut, the building is unsecurable and usually unoccupiable. So we put members again. That's usually no less than two, but at a time. But we would leave them on site pending notification to the owner if there was a delay in that, or two, pending the owner being able to get to scene where we can turn it over to him and or secure it, secure it. So that's another one. There's really no, that's a city funded item, that $4,500. And there's not really not a mechanism like the demolition item for reimbursement. Most owners, I shouldn't say that anymore. There was a time when the owners would be more responsible as a whole. And, we'd have to if there was an issue with the building after the city had some type of case against the owner, we would tack on that whatever fire watch onto that. Next is Yankee Gas. Again, historical use. Same for the water company and Comcast. In each of the firehouses, we have cable TV service, and we have a 5G internet at each of the firehouses for our. That's to support our departmental software, and we're just on the cusp of initiating Wi-Fi in our apparatus so that we can go to a more digital type of communication from as a backup to our radio system. Let me scroll down. Okay. Fire officials' expenses. The $2,400, historically that, or at one time that money was, there is a state firemen's convention each year, and members would, the chiefs and commissioner would generally go to that convention, and there would be training courses and so forth. So each of those individuals was given a stipend for that convention. That has now, has evolved into more of a resource or a resource to provide training and educational. I listed some pertinent industry subscriptions, books. If they want a piece of IT that, you know, specific something for that or other piece of equipment, each member would get the $400, and that now includes a safety officer, which is a relative new position in the department. Again evolves from a history of firefighter injuries and worse, the norm in the business is to have a safety officer on all emergency incidents. And we have one in Derby. It's not necessarily that individual that's on every incident, but he is the chief safety officer. And that position also receives a stipend as well for the year. The firefighter physical exams, we're mandated by OSHA because our members wear self-contained breathing apparatus, we are mandated to provide a physical exam annually for every member that performs that duty. We go one step above in Derby and we offer for members that we are categorized as external firefighters, and that would be a member that is not certified to wear a breathing apparatus. If you ever have been or are familiar with fire ground operations, there's a lot that goes on, and not everybody has to be inside the building to make it a successful incident in terms of minimizing property destruction and obviously upholding life safety. There's a lot of jobs that members can do that don't require them to go inside and wear self-contained breathing apparatus. So we provide a physical for approximately 85 members each year. And in recent years, because of COVID, if for those of you who have been on the board, you may notice a few times I've asked at this time of the year to transfer money out of that account because we were just not getting the physicals done because Griffin was closed and or not performing those physicals. We're back up to full steam and have been. So we're on tap to spend. I don't know if we're going to spend every last dollar of that $36,000 this year, but we're going to be pretty close. That's what that's for. The expense of companies, it's $1,500 to go to each of the four companies. Again, as it says there, it's for membership parade uniforms. We call them Class A uniforms, and most things ceremonial related to company functions and that. So it's $1,500 doesn't go a long way for a member's uniform. It's they're about $400 a piece. I'm talking about the dress uniforms, not the firefighting. And that's what that money goes towards. The Valley Fire Chiefs is a organization. It centers around its primary function is to, they're the governing body for the Valley Regional of Fire School. Currently, that used to be located right in our beloved Derby here up until the early 90s. It was a contaminated ground that was built on, and that's currently part of the greenway down where the dock is underneath Route 8 there. It's where it was. The school is still functioning, do their training in firehouses around in a valley. They have a whole organization of leadership, a cadre of certified fire instructors, and we utilize them quite a bit for our training in Derby. The $200 is the member fee dues for that, and that's paid by all five of the Valley towns. The ladder testing is done by an outside vendor. We just recently completed that. That's the ground ladders that are carried on all the apparatus. The aerial ladder, which we have one, is done by one of our other vendors each year. Training and education it covers all types of training that we offer our members through the course of the year. At most of the time it's or I'm sorry, some of the time we do it ourselves in-house. Others, it's we use other four venues and instructors to do, and that's what that goes toward. It also goes towards books and resources for the members. Next is computer expenses. I spoke briefly about that earlier. That we're migrating to purchasing new computers for each of the firehouses. We just upgraded our department software. It's through a nationwide service. The old one we had was called Firehouse Software. Started in the I believe in the late 1990s, and it had just become outdated and obsolete. We are utilizing a new system now, which most of the surrounding departments around us are using as well. System is called First Do. It has a tremendous range of capabilities, and we're just getting our feet wet with it. But we've had to and continue to have to upgrade many of our older computers to match the horsepower we now have with the new software. Extinguishers is the regular ABC extinguishers or some that we carry on the apparatus and in the firehouses. Building maintenance.
Oops, go ahead. Really quick, Chief Commissioner, with regard to your trucks don't need any tires anymore?
It was they do, in last year's budget, I rolled that into vehicle maintenance, equipment maintenance.
Yeah,
and the reason is each year. Each one of our apparatus gets sent to, we use Tracy's Garage. It's a local garage, and they've become one of the premier fire truck service centers in this part of the state. Each vehicle gets we call it a DOT inspection and maintenance. So they go basically from front to back and top to bottom of the vehicles. It's a safety check primarily, checks all the major systems of the truck and the braking system, structure tires, the electrical systems, and while it's there, it also, we also have them check the fire operations end of the truck as well. Generally we buy the tires with that. And during those inspections, when we do those purchases, so I just to keep it more streamlined, wrap the tires into equipment maintenance.
Okay. No, thank you. That's what I was wondering, because there's zero on the worksheet I have.
Yeah.
They all need.
Yeah.
Tires.
No, they need tires. I'm gonna get back to apparatus in a minute. I just want to hit the buildings real quick. So we have five buildings that we maintain in the fire department. The four firehouses that I spoke about before. The storm engine company is located on 151 Olivia Street. Was built in the late 50s. The Hotchkiss hose is located at 200 New David Humphreys Road. That building was built in 1976. Pegaso and Ladders located at 57 Derby Avenue. It was built in 1976, and the East End Hose Company is located at number 10 Derby Milford Road. That building was built, I believe, in the late 50s as well, possibly in the early 1960s. And the fifth one is the former fire alarm. We call it the fire alarm tower. It's located at 74 Cottage Street. If you were to look up Cottage Street Hill from past St. Mary's there, you'll see a very tall radio antenna sticking up, and that's that building. That building was formerly the quarters for the center for the old citywide fire alarm system that is now dysfunctional and mostly taken apart. But the building is still important to maintain because there's the major base stations for the fire department, including the ambulance corps, the police department, and the public works. The cores of those radio systems for each of those departments is housed in that building. And so we really need to keep that building until we can do something different with those radios. That in and of itself is a major endeavor because of the complexity of the phone wiring system that goes to what I'm told a replacement is in a couple $100,000 range. So obviously we're just for the time being, we're maintaining a building the best we can. I know this is not the budget or the capital capital presentation, but that's part of the 5-year capital plan that I have put together to maintain each of those 5 buildings over the next 5 years or the 5 years of the next capital plan, put it that way.
I have 2 questions. One of them is the roof was coming down in that building, I believe. Was that fixed recently?
It's got a Band-Aid on it, Chris. It's the new roof is about $13,000. So we have, it's not leaking, not leaking currently.
Okay. All right. The other question is, now I've heard in the past that there was talk about combining the East End Hose with another company. Is that still on in the works, or is it that hasn't come up in anything lately?
Well, I'm sure it's still alive in some circles, but it's not in the fire department circle. It is not. I think it's very important. Where the East End is located is probably not the best location for a firehouse. However, where it is about the best location we can have to service put an apparatus on any accident scene along the Route 34 corridor in a very short time. And so and the Hotchkiss is on top of the hill. Likewise, they respond very quickly to most of the areas along the whole hilltop. And so if we combine those, we take some of that edge away. And there's another reason as well. And it's not a tangible reason, but it's a fire department reason is we have the 4 companies and we operate as a Derby fire department. We operate very well as the Derby fire department. However, there is some, I'm sorry, I'm lost for the word. There's a lot of spirit in each of the firehouses, and sometimes those spirits, in a good way, rubs against each other. And I believe, and I think most of our members believe that keeps us sharp. Again, I know that's not a tangible reason, but I can show you, I can produce for you. And if given the time, I could spend about an hour talking about why those companies should not be combined, Chris. And I would be happy to do that sometime, but currently, no, we're not talking about that.
Okay. I would that's another curiosity question that I've heard through the years and we're just curious about it.
Understood. And I can appreciate that. Again, I could go more in depth during whenever we have a Capital Planning Commission meeting, because we're looking to purchase apparatus, and we need to desperately replace apparatus, and we have a plan for that, and it's very detailed, and that's where you'll see a lot of the details that I'm talking about. And the word was not coming to mind is rivalry. A good rivalry between the companies.
I got you. All right.
The equipment maintenance, if I may spend a minute on that. So we operate 6 apparatus. What we are finding is what we have learned is in this time of COVID, and in this time of supply chain, and in the supply of inflation, the cost of maintenance on apparatus and anything else really, but for this conversation is apparatus, is astronomical. You'll see when we talk about my transfer requests, I'm $24,000 over the $46,000 for this year. And that was not for anything major to any one of the vehicles. It's horrendous. The parts are extremely hard to come by and unpredictable. So the way we would typically do apparatus is each one would go into Tracy's. We would schedule, and then the engine 11 goes on to Tracy's they'd have it for a week and do whatever they got to do to it. And maybe they got to hold it over for over a weekend into the early next week to get all the parts in, and we get the truck back in service. Then we send another one down. Well, what happens now, and it happened multiple times this year, is the engine, I'm using that when engine 11 as an example. It may not be this particular truck, but engine 11 goes down. We learned that it needs factual. We discovered that the pump was cracked in engine 11, and it required some heavy new equipment. So typically, you know, you call the manufacturer, call parts distributor, and you know, a pump or a part like that could be maybe a week or two delay lead time. This one was 6 or 7 months. And you know, that we were told, or Tracy's was told, it was relayed to me after, that there's an escalation coming, a part used to cost $1,000 is now $4,000 or $5,000, and we don't know when we can get it to you. So what we found ourselves having to do, and this year, whenever we identified something that was wrong in one of the apparatus, were may have weighed before, you know, is it really necessary? Can we kick it to next year? I decided we can't hesitate, because one, we don't know if we're going to get the part later. Number two, how much more is it going to be if we order it 6 months from now? It has become a real problem for us. And so that $46,000, I'm not advocating for you to put more money into that line item for next year. But I think it would be wise to, and I would be happy to work with you on a number, not only for the fire department, but for, you know, a kind of a public works and anybody that has vehicles in the city, perhaps in a special balance or something, set some money aside for cost escalation of repairs, because it's coming and it's not going away. That's my pitch for that. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
I'm just taking myself off of mute. I do apologize.
No problem.
That comes to my follow-up question regarding these transfers that are coming up, that everything is going into equipment maintenance.
That's correct. That's the reason why.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. The next is radio maintenance. Again, that services the base station I talked about up on Cottage Street. And all the radios are portables, which are handy talkies and radios in the two-way radios in the vehicles and the apparatus. The annual service contracts are, I noted copier, the dispatch software, that's about $8,000 a year. We lease our 4 gas meters that we use to get a CO call in the house. The meters that we carry on our apparatus actually measure for four different gases, and then those are leased. And that's that with the they get service quarterly. It's again about $8,000 a year. So that's what that goes into that account. Personal alert systems. We have pagers, although we're weaning ourselves off of pagers a little bit, and more into phone apps. But we still have a need for pagers as well. Engine pump testing, again, similar to the ladder testing, the pumps on the fire apparatus need to be tested and certified annually for performance. New equipment is. I say new equipment, most of it's replacement equipment as things wear out or break and get replaced. And that's like to the caliber of power saws, you know, that type of thing. Hose, we test that annually as well. We just went through that. We purchased a lot of hose last year. We moved some money with you all last year and into that hose account and purchased quite a bit of new hose. And so we're actually in pretty good shape for hose for now, but, the 15,000, we still have, there's always old hose. So we try to keep our hose, newer than, 15 years. And so that 15 goes towards replacing the oldest hose we have. Breathing equipment is the SCBAs I talked about earlier. There's a tremendous amount of testing, and the air that goes into them has to be tested. So we have two of our own air compressors and two firehouses that we fill our bottles off of. So and there's just a lot of maintenance with those. They're in, you know, high heat all the time when they're in use. They're in burning buildings, you know, both actual and training. So that's what that is. The maintained turnout gear, that's the personal protective clothing that the members wear, that we have a company that comes in each year to make repairs to that. You'll see that new item right at the bottom there where it says purchase turnout gear. We should put that in the capital budget. I think the mayor's office and his budget shows that. And I support that wholeheartedly. I just, my point to putting into this budget is we are in desperate need of replacing gear. Unfortunately, for the amount of money you pay for, you think it lasts a lifetime. There is a shelf life to this equipment, and it's 10 years, whether it was ever in a fire or not. And so I will say most of our gear has been in more than one fire, and we're in need of replacing. And the fire police are they help us out with traffic during fires, and that's just $1,000 for vests and flashlights and all the like to support the fireplace. So that's brings us to the end of the fire department.
Excuse me, I do have one more two-part question. On the bottom of Lower Hawkins Street, there's a building with I believe fireboats in it. Are we in charge of the fireboats, or does that?
The old Public Works garage on Hawkins Street.
That's
part of the storm engine. That belongs to the Storm Engine Company Ambulance Corps.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's not the we work tandem and hand in hand, but that's the ambulance corps. That's not under the fire department.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Anybody got any more questions for the commissioner?
I just put it out there that if anyone has any questions after this meeting tonight, I'm available. You can call me anytime. The mayor's office has my number. If there's anything you want to see or any concerns you have, please don't hesitate to call me.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Do we have anybody from the fire marshal's budget?
He was in the room. Yes, he's here. David Marcarelli.
Oh, hello, David.
He's unmuted.
Hello, David. Hello, David.
Hear me?
David.
Hear me?
I think, was he on the phone and he just got cut off, but I see he's on the screen.
Yeah, I don't know. Dave, dial in again if you can.
I just texted him, so just give him a minute.
Dave, that are you in? Dave, are you in?
Hello, Dave. You got to unmute yourself. I see you're on the phone.
Yeah.
Hit star six. Yep. There you go.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was running late and I had to pick my son up at lacrosse practice. So I had to jump in my truck and get on the phone. So now I'm here now. So
the floor is yours, David.
I'm sorry.
The floor is yours.
Oh, I'm trying to get
something. The audio and video is yours.
Yeah, do you have my budget up there? There you go.
Yep, it's up there.
Okay. Let me just make it larger now that I'm on my phone. Okay, so good evening, everyone. My name's Dave. Nice to virtually meet everybody. I'd like to just go over quickly my proposed budget for the next fiscal year. Line item number one is the fire marshal salary, as was determined by the mayor and board of aldermen, alderwomen. My second line item is I'm requesting a part-time deputy fire marshal. This is kind of a new position. Right now we have three individuals that act as inspectors. But as they work now, they're basically almost on a quota where they only have to do 4 inspections a month. And I don't know how much you paid attention to the last couple of Board of Aldermen meetings that I presented at. I'd like to kind of change the system that we're working under and not make it a quota, but more an hourly. So I'm looking for one part-time deputy fire marshal who'll be working 19 and a half hours a week at a rate of $33 an hour, which is about normal. I got the salary and wages from the Connecticut Fire Marshal Association, so that's where that position should be. And that total cost would be $32,350 a year for that individual. And that would allow somebody to come in to not only just do inspections, but come into the office a few days a week, because there's a lot more to be done in the fire marshal's office than just running out doing inspections. There's same, let me see here. That's up twice. That's a different line item that you guys have here. That's not the same one I have that you have up there. I'm looking for 2 part-time fire life safety inspectors, but that is not the latest budget that I presented there. That should say 2 part-time fire life safety inspectors for 8 hours a week at a rate of $26 an hour for a total of 20,000, not 26. So I don't, my budget presentation is not in here. So I will explain that anyhow. We have 2 part-time inspectors. That again, they are paid basically to do a certain number of inspections per month or per year, 48 per year. That averages 4 inspections a month. Again, I'm trying to get away from, you know, putting a quota on them because we've changed the way we've scheduled our work to give them less sections, you know, instead of just that was prepared for March 1st, 2023, and not this 12/16/2022, is requesting 2 part-time fire inspectors at 8 hours per week at $26 an hour. And that total is 20,000. That should not be 26,000. So, Gary, you don't have any other budgets in your possession?
This is what I was sent. Dave, did you send me something else?
I believe so. It was sent somewhere.
Somewhere, I can guarantee, but
Didn't get down. Apparently, it didn't get down to you. Because it was presented at the last Board of Aldermen and Alderwoman's commission. So that would lead me to add one more line in there, and that would be fall under the 2 part-time fire life safety inspectors. And that calls for on-call per diem, either life safety code inspector or fire investigator. I put an earmark in that line for $6,325. Now, what that's for is in case, you know, my deputy fire chief is on vacation or injured, and I'm out of town, I can put somebody on call, basically say, you know, get a list of on-call individuals and basically say, are you around to respond to a structure fire should we happen to have one? And then if that's the case, we will be paying them at $26 an hour. That $6,325 that I earmarked for that is probably not going to be used. That's going to give me 235 man hours of payable man hours, which I don't think, you know, we don't have that many fires, and the chances of us both being out of town and needing to bring somebody else in is pretty thin. I separated that money out just to have it in the budget available. Again, I don't see myself using it all, but it's, again, it's there in case it's needed. Now I compare the rest of the line items going down. Uniforms, I stuck at 500. Again, there's always, you know, shirts or pants or badges. If we do swear in more fire investigators, they're going to need uniforms. But I cut that line item considerably from the prior year, because I don't see that being a great need for this upcoming budget session. The next line is for dues for various organizations. Again, I cut that in half because I know, you know, I'm kind of asking a lot with the help, but that was a $2,000 line item last year, I believe, and I cut that down to $1,000. Yeah, those are just for dues for being a member of like NFPA and the Fire Marshal, Connecticut Fire Marshal Associations, and other local dues. After that becomes education. As you may or may not know, a fire inspector, a fire marshal, or deputy fire marshal are required to maintain 90 CEUs, continuing education credits, over the course of 3 years. That's a hard 90 to do, because you could take a class that's a half day class from 8 to 12, and you have to travel to where they're never local, and you walk away at 1.5 credits. So it's that's a hard 90 to do, but that's what that money is earmarked for, to pay. We don't pay our inspectors to go to those classes, but we will pay the tuition for those classes. Again, that's for them to maintain their fire certification. The next line is $1,200 for fire prevention. You know, I know if Derby was anything like my former town, we got away with that, got away from that because of COVID. You know, right before I left to come here, you know, we put on a pretty good fire prevention week for our school's children. So I earmarked $1,200 for that. Vehicle maintenance. Again, the only vehicle maintenance is my vehicle. I put on $1,000. That's basically just for oil changes and general maintenance, whatever that should be. General office supplies, investigation equipment, if I need to replace anything, I put down $2,500. You know, nothing is really cheap when it comes to that. I hope not to have to use that much. And then finally, and I think the commissioner, fire commissioner, touched on this basis a little bit, but radio maintenance, our portables are also getting a little old. So just in case we have to replace one or have one service, I asked for $1,500. To replace one itself is about $1,000. So, you know, hopefully we can hold off and get by with that money, but again, I also did cut that line item. And I That's as far down as my go. My request for the budget is for $153,975. That's up from last year's budget, which was, as you see, was $115,000 change. One of the biggest jump in expenditures here, as you can probably tell, and what is going to be personnel. When you start, our fire inspectors average have been averaging between 30 and 32 hours a month, and that is from not only inspections, but for writing out letters for to the tenants, and going to CMEs. Again, that's on their own time. They were working at a stipend at $5,800 a year. When you start doing the math between the number of hours that they put in per month and the stipend, they were working from anywhere but for $13 to $16 an hour. And again, I presented that at a Board of Aldermen, Alderwoman meeting. Gave all the numbers. I did a lot of research on that. And to be honest, they were, for the profession that they have, they were grossly underpaid. So the majority of this increase in this budget is pretty much for my staff to get the money that they actually deserve, that they should be getting. So what it comes out to is that instead of getting one individual a $5,800 stipend a year, that number is going to jump to $10,000 each. So that's my biggest increase, along with putting on a part-time fire marshal for 19 and a half hours a week. So that's my budget. I apologize why, you know, this is not the one you have in hand. I could try to email it over to you as quickly as possible if you would like to. But again, that's basically not the one I'm working off of.
And I double checked. I do not have it, unfortunately.
I'll be back.
Okay. Well, you have. No, the number adds up on the bottom. It's just not broken down the way I had since.
What I have on the board, shared on the screen, is what was sent to me from the finance office on the 28th. And there was a note that you had adjusted it after you had, it says that the fire marshal revised his budget after meeting with Walter. And the finance office did not have a copy of that.
It was adjusted from what you're seeing here, as you can tell.
All right. So if you send it, we'll send it to the board so they have the updated one.
Okay. But the first three numbers should be 83,000, which is correct. The 32,350 is correct. But the third line should read 20,000. And there should be a line in between that that reads 6,325, and the rest remains the same.
Yeah, I see this one here was combined the inspectors and the safety all into one because it totals 26,325, but it's not accounting for the line item of the additional personnel that you're talking about, David. Correct?
No, it's not. No, my copy that I last submitted at the beginning of March calls for two part-time inspectors, not one. And we already have them. I'm not adding any new positions. We already have the two inspectors, but I'm basically requesting that they get a pay increase from the $5,800 stipend that's currently in the budget to a $10,000 hourly rate instead of a stipend.
Thank you. Anybody else got any questions for David? Thank you for your presentation, David.
I'm available for questions at my office at any time. I appreciate that. I apologize. I wasn't expected to see this budget up here. I will get you to the finance the right copy as soon as I get home.
Thank you.
Okay, nothing else?
I hear none, David. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great holiday, upcoming holiday, and thank you for your time.
Mark, you are going to bring us back to the home screen. There we go. Because I know now we don't have an agenda to do, a quorum to make any decisions on the transfers. Deliberations, I would like to talk about that. If anybody got any feedback and thoughts about it with regard to... go ahead, Mike. If it says here for number 12, the deliberations for the proposed budget, if we can set up a date just to talk about what we have already to get started on the deliberations so we're not behind with respect to selecting another date that we can meet. I want to get you guys feedback and ladies feedback towards setting another date. Because what I'm going to do is look at the calendar, look at how many we have to deliberate, and then set out emails to see if we can start deliberating on certain dates. Because the other piece to this is also, I wanted to get the opinion of the boat members regarding returning back face-to-face at City Hall to do our work there instead of through Zoom. Any feedback on that?
I'm game for what everybody else wants to. Next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Do we want to do something like that?
It depends on the boat. We're a group here. Hopefully could come to a consensus on what is the best interest for everybody to meet face-to-face. I don't want anybody to feel unsafe. I looked at the Fairfield, New Haven County community transmission rates for COVID, and we're at between low and medium. So the risks are still out there, but at a minimum.
Roberto, this is Mike. I will say that next week will be difficult for me. I may be out of town, so I'm not sure if I'll even be able to attend on Tuesday night's planned meeting.
Okay. Anybody set for a Monday, Tuesday? So we can just look at what we already have.
Hi, it's Chris. Monday, I may have another meeting. Hopefully tomorrow's going to be one of our final meetings for the privatization committee for the sewage treatment plant. And we may have one on Monday next week, and on Tuesday I will be going to Washington. I should be able to be on via Zoom, but I will not be in person. Okay. I'll be in Washington.
Okay. So as it seems now that we will continue with Zoom to make it convenient for everybody, but I'm going to be looking at a few dates within this week and next week, potentially starting for next week, where we can start delivering on the information that we already have. Any feedback on that?
Are we going to meet and talk about you are talking about just meeting and talking about the ones that we've already gone through, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I do have a list of things I have to ask the school, which I'll be sending out within the next couple of days.
Yeah, I do appreciate you bringing that up, Chris. I've also had a couple of questions for Nancy so that we can clarify some information that was provided to us by the presenters. If anybody got any questions, please let's put them together via myself through email, and I'll try to get them all to Nancy where she can get them answered and or to the department heads. I do want to keep transparency going with regard to, we all know the questions, we all know who they're going to, and hopefully the people who are responding, those answers can go to all of us. So we all can be on the same page. Is that okay with anybody from the boat who has any questions for the people that we're already presenting to get some questions to me? And then I'll get them out to Nancy, and I'll get the assistance from Mark in case we need to get them to the department heads, like Chris said, to get them maybe to the Board of Education. And also, I believe the superintendent provided his phone numbers to contact him if you want to go that way. But in order to keep this transparency with what's going on and how we can deliberate to what's the best interest of the budget, let's try to, you know, keep everybody abreast to what's going on. Any further questions to that?
Burrow, this is Mike. Just a comment. I'm pretty certain the superintendent sent out a Google form so that people could just send questions via that. We all have access to that, so you can see questions people are asking. And I believe he would be answering right in that document. So it's in real time, so you can see. But I'm not positive, but I'm pretty certain he sent that out maybe a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. But I also agree that it's a good idea to get all the questions everybody has answered before we start deliberating.
Correct. Yes, thank you. And I do remember that, Mike. Thanks for reminding me that he did have this document that we all can use to get some questions to him and then get a response before we do deliberate. So if anybody has that, because we got the next steps, storm ambulance presentation, and that's when we're going to start to set some dates in between, because we got public hearing and deliberations coming up on the 18th, and then trying to adopt the final budget before the beginning of May, end of April. So we're going to have to squeeze in a couple of days before the end of the month. And please, anybody got any feedback, any questions, please don't hesitate. You know, I think all you guys have and ladies have my email, and we'll try to resolve this as best as we can.
Roberto?
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to have the finance department in here? I mean, aren't they supposed to be giving us a hand on this?
We've been.
I think you can request that, you know.
Yeah, this is the second time that we're going to request it. As you know, the administration has been difficult to get the support and resources and information so that we can share with everybody on the boat. I am going to be referring to questions to, once it's all given to me, I'm going to have it in a format so that everybody in the boat can have the questions, and they'll see the direction that it's going to be going to Nancy and any department heads that we need to, besides the Board of Ed, that we can use that worksheet to get the answers what we need the best we can. And then I'm going to ask Nancy for any financial worksheets or, you know, answers that we need.
Okay, because I just think it's better if they're there. I mean, everybody should hear, the public, everybody should hear the answers to these questions instead of them writing something down.
You're right. But if they're not, we can't hold a gun to their heads. And we got to continue with our Q&As and then deliberations. Because
you're right.
We can't stop in our jobs that we need to do,
But believe it or not, I am, you know, sticking to my agenda, hopefully on behalf of everybody here, that we want information so we can make conscientious decisions on based on the presenter's information that they provided, and then do our best from there. Because, yeah, we are limited resources, limited time. We all are volunteers. We all have a life besides the boat. And we don't need to make it even more stressed than what we really want it to be. I love the fact that we have some senior experienced boat members, and we got two-year freshmen here. And I think we're doing fairly well. We are asking the questions that we need to ask, and hopefully we'll get the answers. If not, we'll deliberate with what we have as best we can.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Any feedback, questions? And if anything, anybody can make a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion.
Chris, I'll make the motion. Sorry, Jennifer.
It's okay.
I'll second Jennifer's motion.
Right here. We got Jennifer and Chris for the adjournment in a second. Louise, you got that?
Sorry, I got it.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for this evening. We'll stay in touch with any questions that you need answers, and have a blessed Easter weekend.
Have a great Easter.
Bye-bye.
It's 7:39 p.m.
Thank you.
You bet.